Is my cat too fat? Heavy petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to Pet Doctors.
Indeed, the hot questions.
Hey, coming, Callum, can you hear us?
Yeah, g'day there. How you going?
G'day, mate. How's it going? Now, what? My name's Big Hungry. I don't think we've met, but let's do this. Hello.
G'day, Big Hungry. How you going?
Now, do we call you doctor, or do we call you the vet, or
what can you call me whatever you like.
Okay.
Probably just Cal. I think that's what most people call me.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah, now, Dr. Cal it is. Got it.
Okay.
Dr. Cal. Let's go with that.
Cal, you're based down on the South Island, but you are Pet Doctor's resident expert for all things we need to know pet here on BFM.
Is the South Island pet stuff mostly, what is my cow eating kind of thing?
No, there's plenty of dogs and cats down here too.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay. Well, basically this is a new feature here on BFM, and we thought that we would hustle some questions from the BFM listenership over the past week, we would put them to you to answer them for us. Now we've had some interesting ones. Someone got in touch
all over the spectrum, really.
Yeah, they're all pretty much cat and dog questions so far. But the first person got in touch and said, "We've got a stray cat who's been living at our house. We need to get him to a vet to get his chip scanned. We don't know we don't know who his previous owners are. What are the usual politics around a cat you really love and want to keep?"
First of all, do not approach the cat. That's correct, eh, Callum? We don't know where that cat's been or what that cat is into.
Well, no, we can't vouch for the cat.
Don't touch the cat, kind of thing.
If you take a stray cat in to get his chip scans, do the vets generally,
or hers actually,
hold on to the cat, or what are the politics surrounding that?
Yeah, that's a good one, eh? What a tricky question. nice one to start with. But it's an interesting one. I guess the first thing is, is it a stray cat? Because what we do know about cats is that they are, a lot of cats will actually move between households.
They get around.
They get around, and they can be incredibly disloyal. So there's a great website. I don't know if you've ever been on there, but there's a fantastic researcher at Vic Uni called Heidi Kirkellis, who's got a website called Cat Tracker NZ, and she puts little GPS units on her cats or people's cats in Wellington in particular, and they watch where they go, and it's quite remarkable. So my middle son Tom actually wanted to do this for a school project, so I asked Heidi if I could put a tracker on our cat.
Nice.
And we actually found out that he spends a couple of nights, or he does a few weird things, but one is that he spends a couple of nights a week a couple of blocks away at somebody else's house.
Who
clearly
that's
thinks
so
that,
good
yeah
cats so, are fucking bad there.
He's a less popular cat in our household since we revealed that. The other thing he does is get up every morning at 5 o'clock and head up to the park along the road to take a slash, which is, the things he doesn't know.
So just
about
like he's protecting a territory out there and like staying.
I don't know what he's up to, but he goes every morning at 5 o'clock.
That's
so like clockwork. But hey, I mean, I guess the short answer is that in New Zealand we don't have a piece of legislation around cat ownership, so we've got a Dog Control Act. But we don't have a Cat Management Act or a Cat Ownership Act, which is something that we've been pushing at for a long time.
So I can potentially grab anyone's cat and carry on with my life.
The problem, you see, there's not a great legal definition of who owns a cat. So microchipping is the best means of us being able to establish who a cat's owner is. And so if someone brought in a cat to me and said, "Look, this cat comes and spends a lot of time with us," or "it actually lives with us all the time," the first thing we do is scan the microchip. And if there was a previous owner or someone who was already registered as the owner of that cat, then we'd be having a conversation with that person and saying, "Look, the right thing to do here is for us to contact that owner and just make sure that they, aren't searching for their cat, that they don't miss their cat, that they don't live three doors down the road from you or over your back fence."
Do you know what I reckon? I think the reason there isn't a law for cats is because there'll be that crunch moment with dogs where it's like, okay, you claim that's your dog. Okay, you claim that's your dog. And then they like both call and it goes to the owner, but a cat will just not go to anyone and just cruise off.
Yeah,
can't really resolve
nobody owns me. I am my own tree spirit.
They are so righteous, okay. Eh?
Yeah. So look, it's a tricky one. And actually, we can't disclose people's details to someone else. The Privacy Act prevents that. So, and we also don't have the power to see seize cats or seize animals. You know, that's not what we do.
Right.
So we're never going to, you know, take an animal off you, but we'd certainly be having a conversation with you about the fact that that cat may have another owner and trying to broker a solution for both sides, really.
Maybe sort of knock on a couple of doors nearby and maybe put a couple of little flyers up, and then after that...
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, what the SPCA will often do is they'll send that animal home with the owner, with a collar, with a note on it, basically, that says, hey, I'm hanging out at number 42. if I'm your cat, you better come down and have a chat to us because we need some money.
Matt. Hey, so that was kind of a fun one. Let's go straight into the deep end now. This is a heavy question here. It's still on cats. Would a jealous cat intentionally smother a newborn baby?
Yeah. Talk about from one pole to the other, eh?
This is BFM. It's
so I guess the answer to this is, you know, cats aren't sort of, you know, they're pretty quirky animals. They might be a bit devious, but they're certainly not homicidal or malicious by any means.
No.
But one of the things, I guess, about cats is that they love sleeping in a warm, enclosed environment. They love being up off the ground.
That's why they're always getting on laptops, isn't it?
That's right. That's why mine sits on the Sky transponder all day long. So baby's cots are a really attractive place for cats to climb into. They love the idea of a cot. It's the perfect scenario for them. There is a risk with cats, and I think it's something that people with young children, you know, always ask, and we certainly were really aware of this when we had our first child. Cats love jumping up into those places, and if by chance there's a baby in there, that really makes no difference to the cat other than that it's probably a little inconvenient for it. So, the important thing is to make sure that you don't leave your baby unattended, or that you make sure that the cat doesn't have access to that room during the time when your child's sleeping, so there isn't the chance of them, you know, unintentionally climbing up and making their bed in that area. Mm. And there are some tricks that you can use to kind of deter them from doing that as well. So the classic and the one that we used when we had our first child was we set up the bassinet and then put silver foil in there or alfoil for a couple of weeks. So every time the cat jumped in, it got a double white foil.
Oh, buzzy!
So they jump out and they're deterred from getting into that.
And the baby's totally fine with the foil.
Yeah. The kids have still got foil stuck in their hair. We don't know where they come from.
Okay, well, that's a handy piece of advice. So that's two questions on cats. I feel like we should ask one on behalf of the dogs. Someone has. Text us through wondering what are the quirks or ins and outs of picking up a former racing greyhound. Would they come with any weird personality traits that the potential new owner might need to manage?
Pace.
Well, yeah, but yes.
Sheer
I mean, the short
pace.
Answer is, yeah, look, greyhounds are awesome dogs. I mean, we
yeah,
love
actually, my friend of mine's just got
bit.
One, so I
think they're brilliant.
Yeah, they
and
are.
The program that they're doing around GAP or greyhounds as pets for rehoming these dogs is absolutely amazing. So,
yeah, man.
But they are really quirky dogs. They are really wussy. They have this thing called the greyhound scream, which means that, you know, like if they get the slightest irritation or prickle, you can normally hear it from about three or four city blocks away. They're complete wusses. They're utter couch potatoes. So if you've got a greyhound, you're probably going to have to get another couch because the greyhound will take your couch and never leave it.
Right.
They'll happily sleep for about 30 hours a day. And the classics, I mean, there's some really funny things they do. One of them is when they get anxious, they do this teeth chattering thing where their teeth vibrate.
And their cheeks go like, boo, and then
out.
And they
suck their cheeks in and out, which is hysterical to watch.
Yeah.
And the other one is they've got this lean thing, which I don't know. I mean, I've got a couple of my nurses who've got greyhounds, and if they come in, they'll lean against you, and they just keep leaning until they put their entire body weight on you, to the point where you'll actually physically fall over before they'll stop leaning on you. So they're great. I mean, they're really quirky.
But if they see a cat, they will go.
Because
that thing looks like that white fairy thing they used to fiend over, John Boy.
They do like chasing things. So often not the ideal dog for the crazy cat household. And it's certainly something you need to be a little bit mindful of.
Could you train them to share the house with a cat, or no chance?
Well, it's a hard one, eh? I mean, it's innate for them to chase. I mean, they love chasing things, and it's really more about the movement than it is about the animal in particular.
Train the cat not to run, I think is what you
train
mean.
Train the cat not to run, yeah.
Good.
I mean, but it is a difficult one. There are, I mean, I've got a few mates that have got greyhounds that cohabitate with cats absolutely happily. Right. So, you know, it can be done, but it's worth being mindful before you, you know, you go into getting a greyhound that if you've got a cat, that it may not always be a great fit.
Okay, okay.
Fair call.
Now, we've got another question about dogs. I suspect this person's dog might have bad breath. they're just saying, what's the best way to look after my dog's teeth and make sure his breath is fresh? Is his diet a major factor in what his breath smells like?
Sure. Okay. So there's sort of two aspects to this question, aren't there? Like, one is smelly breath, and the question is, you know, what's that caused by? And the other is, where does diet play a role in that? And I guess smelly breath can either be genuinely smelly breath, where, you know, it's coming from the stomach contents and the diet itself, but more often than not in dogs, we find that it's actually related to dental disease. And so these guys are a lot like us. I mean, they do have to physically clean their teeth, and the way that they did that, you know, naturally was by chewing and gnawing on, you know, on bones and flesh and sinew. These days we're feeding dogs a lot of, you know, formulated foods, or we're feeding them different bits and pieces. So we do need to be watching their teeth to make sure that they're getting that dental exercise. And there's different ways of doing that. So you can use dental chews. You know, there's special chews that are available that will help clean the dog's teeth. There's some brilliant diets now on the market that are designed specifically to clean the dog's teeth. So when they chew on that that food, it's actually abrading or cleaning the surface of the tooth, which is fantastic.
Is there a human equivalent of that? just while we're here.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great?
And just another. Just while we're on that, can humans eat that dog stuff and it'll be okay? Will I turn into Teen Wolf or...?
You know, I went once to one of the production factories for dog food in Australia, actually, and they were producing for the overseas market for Japan, and the grade of food that they prepare for dogs over there is so high grade that it's actually above sort of human consumption level.
They
took us into their, you know, into their tasting room, and we actually tried some of the dog food, and it was fabulous.
I'm going to definitely try dog food before this year's out on this very segment, I swear to God.
Yeah, go for it. I wouldn't recommend it as a total nutritional input, but, you know, it's not a...
But you know, Dr. Cal, you said it was fine.
Hey, the other part of that is brushing their teeth. So,
that's got to be hard.
Can you actually brush a dog's teeth?
You want an electric toothbrush, don't you, for that kind of carry-on, surely?
Yeah, I don't know how much they'd like an electric toothbrush, but there are certainly dog toothbrushes. I guess the most important thing is you don't use human toothpaste in a dog.
Right.
So there are dog toothpaste that you can come in and get from us at the vet.
I bet they're better as well.
Sorry?
I bet they taste delicious as well.
Oh, look, there's nothing like chicken-flavoured toothpaste.
Oh, you know? Man, come on! Yes!
Don't make that mistake at home. But, yeah, so physically brushing their teeth, you know, ideally every day, but a couple of times a week at least, using a toothbrush, or you can use, like, a thimble that's got a brush on the end of it, is a great way of just removing that sort of soft plaque and so on from their teeth and keeping their mouth clean.
Right on.
And that's, you know, that's a key part of actually looking after their dental health. And look, it's a massive issue in dogs and cats. You know, a lot of these guys have dental disease.
That's where the health kind of starts, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, we kind of assume that, you know, that we don't need to take care of that, but actually, just as much as we need to be in seeing the dentist, you know, regularly, these guys need to be having their teeth looked after and cleaned as well. So, you know, often we're doing the sort of, you know, the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff type stuff where you know, we're doing a lot of work trying to fix really severe disease, but it would be much better if we were just, you know, as owners, we were doing these things, you know, right from the start.
Okay, hey Cal, we've got a few texts in, but we'll just go with this one. What are the best dog breeds for people who suffer allergies? I guess that's like the short-haired dogs, eh, is where you want to go.
Yeah, look, I mean, the main thing around a lot of allergies is the lack of shedding of hair.
Right.
So some breeds of dogs are low shedders of hair, and I guess the classics that we often see people pick are things like spoodles and poodles.
Right. Well, also, there's I grew up with like an Irish water spaniel, and I think it had like a wool instead of fur, so would that be like a good option?
Yeah, I mean, it's still got a fur coat, but they're slightly different fur coats.
Right.
Yeah, and so I guess that's, you know, you can get online and have a look, and there are some great websites that will actually talk about dogs that are less allergenic for certain people than others, but it kind of depends on what your allergy is based on too. You know, not everyone's actually allergic to the dog's coat. There may be other things that are causing those allergies.
All right.
Thanks, mate. That was fabulous first edition there. We should say this is we're speaking to Callum from Pet Doctors. And this is a bi-weekly situation. We're calling Heavy Petting.
I think we speak to you in a month, or if not, it'll be in 2 weeks. It'll be one or the other, won't it? So,
I think it may be myself or another one of our great vets, E, from up Auckland way.
Nice,
fantastic.
But one of us will be on in a couple of weeks' time.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat to us this afternoon.
No worries. Cheers, mate. See you soon. Bye.
You like the hard pats, don't you, boy? Heavy Petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to Pet Doctors.